This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. All this month, VPR is interviewing candidates for statewide and federal offices. Today, State Treasurer Beth Pierce. She was appointed to the job in late 2010 and has been reelected three times on the Democratic ticket. She spoke with co-host Bob Kinzel yesterday and explained why she wants another term.
I love the job of state treasurer. I've been a professional in government finance for 42 years now. And when I say that, I kind of step back and think, wow, 42 years. But it is my life's work, and I'm a professional in public finance, and this is a way I serve. Growing up, we were encouraged to serve our community in different ways. This is the way I do it. I clearly do not want to run for another office. As I've said in many other occasions, this is the only elective office I would seek. It's a great fit. I love what I do. And for me, it's about the bottom line and taking care of the bottom line, but also making sure that that bottom line is available to all all citizens in Vermont, that everyone shares in that bottom line. And we've been able to do that with some smart finance and some innovative financing at the same time. So there's some unfinished work. We've got the Green Mountain retirement plan that we're working on, which will provide a retirement benefit for many of the 104,000 Vermonters that do not have access to employer-sponsored retirement. We are building on a program called ABLE, which is Achieving a Better Life Experience, which is a program for individuals with disabilities to be able to have financial security. We're working on our financial literacy programs. We've got some work to do and continuing our good work on pensions to pay down the unfunded liability in the most cost-effective way for the taxpayer. So there's continued work to be done, build on the progress we've had. The local investment program that we've done has been fantastic, being able to put dollars back into Vermont in a variety of programs, whether it's energy efficiency, housing, lowering the cost of higher education for students. For me, it's a great opportunity to reach out to Vermonters in so many different ways. I love the job. I've got the best staff in the state. I know that others will argue with me with that, but I'm right. They're good. They work hard, and I'm proud of the work we do.
So when you think about all the different fiscal issues that face the state of Vermont, which one keeps you up at night?
Well, I have multiple things that keep me up at night. I'm a night owl number one, so that helps. But, for me, looking at the whole range of things that we need to do, I think the pensions and working on those and defending defined benefit plans is very important. It is the most cost-effective way to do this. Making sure that we don't do quick fixes and stay with our rigor and our financial discipline. Looking at our natural resources, a few years ago, the legislature asked me to get involved in looking at a financing plan and a funding plan for our natural resources, our lakes and rivers. And 94% of our state is covered under a TMDL, total maximum daily load, essentially a pollution budget with the federal government. So this is a big issue for us. $2.5 billion of tourism is dependent on our natural resources. So I look at our lakes and our rivers as an asset that we need to invest in. If you own a company, you invest in that asset. If you're going to make widgets, you want the widget maker to continue to be operable, to continue to provide it in a cost-effective way. So we have to invest in our assets, our natural resources, to continue. That helps create jobs. I think that's very important. It helps in terms of our fees and our taxes. And for me, as a finance person, looking at our natural resources, that's an important issue that the legislature asked me to get involved in. I will tell you that we had a collaborative approach to it, 23 different stakeholder meetings. We met with farmers. We met with environmentalists. We met with municipal employees. 1,000 different people participated in the process to come up with a financing plan.
So you got involved with the water quality issue because you see it's tied directly to the state's economic future?
Absolutely. Again, $2.5 billion of tourism in this state. If our natural resources aren't up to par, people aren't going to use that. Also, 40, I believe this, the number is 42% of our drinking water is from surface water. And we need to make sure that we, from a health and safety issue, from an economic issue, and our way of life, this is important. You know, I look at the colors. They're a little late this year, but they're beautiful. And this is what the fabric of our community, we need to preserve that, and we need to take the financial steps to make that happen.
You mentioned pension funds earlier. How worried are you that the state's pension funds aren't going to be able to meet the obligations that they have unless some major steps are taken?
Well, I think we've made those steps. And first and foremost, coming out of the Great Recession, all three systems, the teacher, the state, and the municipal plan, took a hit from the Great Recession. The teacher plan was less well-funded going in, so there's no great surprise that it was in less enviable financing finance position coming out of the Great Recession. We did a lot of wrong things several years ago. Back in 1990, 1991, decisions were made not to put the full, what's called the actuarially required contribution into the retirement plans, particularly the teacher plan. I usually present a chart that shows that anywhere from 38% to someplace in the area of 50, some years, two-thirds of what the actuary would recommend, we put in 38% of that. You can't invest a promise. You have to have cold, hard cash in there to invest, to make money, to lower the cost for the taxpayer, because 70 cents out of every dollar that we pay a retiree is from investment income.
So wasn't the argument at that time that, hey, those pension funds are doing pretty well, we don't need to put in the full amount?
Yeah, the arguments were pretty they're almost similar to what we hear today. I'm going to read from one, actually. This was from the Joint Fiscal Office in 1989, and it said, a recommendation to reduce the 1990 retirement fund appropriations is made for two reasons. One, the immediate impact would be far less than for most operating programs. And second, in light of the change in the market value of the fund's investments, and I won't read the rest of that, but the bottom line is somehow investments are going to take us out of the problem. And second, that we need to concentrate on our operating programs. The second one is still an issue. People keep saying, well, it crowds out our operating programs. The reality is that the pension obligations are about 2.9% of our total budgets across all of our funds. Only about 35 to 40% is paid out of the general fund. And I did a quick calculation the other day for the and that's for the state program, 35 to 40% of the state's pensions. The teacher pensions are paid out of the general fund, except that now about $8 million is paid out of the education fund. I did a quick survey of federal grant reimbursements the other day, and roughly 22 to 23% of the state retirement funds are reimbursed through federal grants. So they're essentially neutral in terms of the budget impact. So for me, looking at this, it is an important issue. We need to have the discipline moving forward to continue to pay the ARC at the annual actuarially required contribution. I'm going to be into the weeds for just a second. GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board, now refers to the actuarially determined employer contribution. But fund the ARC has a little bit more ring to it as I talk to the legislators about this. The bottom line is that our statute provides that we will pay down the mortgage, so to speak. If you look at this as a liability, a mortgage you're going to pay over time, by 2038, we stick to the funding plan. We stick to our discipline. This year, the legislature put in $26.2 million of additional money in the teachers' plan, which was a very prudent move. These are the kind of things that we can do. We've also worked on the mortgage itself. You know, at home, when you have a mortgage, how you finance it, when you pay down the principal and interest makes a difference. And we kind of honed in on that in 2016, made some changes. That change saved the taxpayers $165 million of interest payments between 2016 and 2038. Those are the kind of things you can do with smart financing.
That was State Treasurer Beth Pierce, a Democrat who's seeking another term, talking with VPR's Bob Kinzel. We also reached out to Pierce's Republican challenger, Richard Morton, for an interview, and we offered to host a debate between the two candidates. Morton declined both invitations and said, quote, "I have chosen not to campaign to the degree that these activities require."